So yes, perhaps nobody is quite sure how to get to 100% renewables by 2035, but if the recent pass is any kind of prologue, you can do an awful lot between now and then toward that goal, to get to that goal, and you can probably do it a lot faster than you think. And finally, just as a small advertorial, and we're here to help you do that.
Thank you. We appreciate it. So before we get to Commissioner Fish, colleagues, and to those of you waiting patiently to testify, we're now going to go to the open testimony part of this. Commissioner Fish is going to make a request in a moment. I want to ask your forbearance. As many of you in this room know, we had a memorial service that we, the council and many other city employees, attended this afternoon at 2 p.m. for Rick Best, who is one of our valued employees and was unfortunately one of the two men who was killed Friday on the MAX train. So we have started an hour late, and in fact, because of some of the logistics, we started more than an hour late. At some point, we will lose our quorum, and we will also be losing city staff. So I don't like to limit public testimony beneath 3 minutes, but I'm afraid this is one of those times where I'm just going to have to do it, and I'm asking for your understanding if we limit public testimony to 2 minutes. And I know most of you have drafted three-minute presentations. If you can try and consolidate it, we'd really appreciate your understanding. Thank you. Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. It is our tradition to let students come up first, particularly if they're missing school or sports practice. And so I am going to be introducing an amendment, but I'd like the students to present it. So I will invite Ella Schreiner, Zella Lobo, Peter Salinger, Sophia Smith, and Kira Mesh to come forward. If you would all come and stand with your colleague. And we've asked one student to be a spokesperson. These are outstanding environmental leaders from Grant High School, and they are sponsors of an amendment that we will take up. And we welcome you to City Council.
Hi, thank you so much. Well, I guess I might as well start off by thanking Michael for helping me get into climate justice activism.
Well done.
So we would like to propose an amendment for a youth...
I'm sorry to interrupt, and I should have made this clear. If everybody could state your name for the record. We don't need your address or anything, but just name for the record is helpful. Thanks.
My name is Ella Schreiner. Okay.
Thank you.
So we would like to propose an amendment for a youth climate action council through the city to help get youth involved. And I was planning to testify about this, so I'll just read my statement. Okay. As youth from Portland who are passionate about finding solutions, we have been very involved in testifying and advocating for policies like the ban on no new fossil fuel infrastructure. At both the initial hearings and the more recent implementation hearings, you, the commissioners, mentioned that you listened to us and made your decisions accordingly. It is clear that you recognize the importance of hearing and responding to youth voices. We are asking in this resolution on renewable energy that you provide us with a formal setting for which to influence policy. We recognize that the new resolution describes the formation of a climate action subcommittee, including Oregon tribes, communities of color, low-income residents, and youth. While we appreciate that many voices will be represented, we ask that you add the formation of a separate youth climate council. All of the affected communities in the resolution have youth who care about the future, youth who want to work towards solutions, youth whose vision is not clouded by corporate voices, and youth who are too often ignored. It is clear that youth have a unique perspective on this issue, which is why it is so important for our voices to be at the forefront of climate justice actions. In the words of Robert F. Kennedy, this world demands the qualities of youth, not a lifetime, but a state of mind. A temper of the will, a quality of the imagination, a predominance of courage over timidity, of the appetite for adventure over the love of ease. Through this council, we hope to have representation from schools throughout the city, bringing together youth who share a common concern for the future. Because we believe that we have an essential role to play in the transition to a sustainable future and in the restoration of a stable climate, We ask that you add the following clause to the resolution. Whereas youth and future generations will be significantly more impacted by climate disruption than those currently in positions of power. We must recognize that youth will inherit the effects of the bad decisions of the past, have the most to lose from lack of action in the present, and will spend their lives leading the transition to a truly green and sustainable economy. Be it further resolved, the city will establish a youth climate council to provide regular support and advice to the city in meeting our climate goals through strong science-based action. Thank you.
Well, very well done.
Thank you.
And Mayor and colleagues, this is what high school environmental leadership looks like. And so I will move the amendment, which contains a whereas and a companion resolved. Is there a second?
And as the most youthful person on City Council, I'd
Ouch.
Be happy to second that.
So we have Commissioner Fish makes the motion. Commissioner Udaly seconds it in a most painful way of reminding us all. And colleagues, we can either,
let's take a vote. Just put it on
let's,
the table.
Let's go ahead and do that. Can you please call the roll, Carla?
Fish.
I want to just say to Ella, Zella, Peter, Sophia, and Kira, thank you for taking time to come join us today. Thank you for your thoughtful leadership for drafting this language, and congratulations for leading the way to include your new language into our resolution. And I'm proud to support your work. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, since Dean already called me out on realizing that a lot of the leadership and innovation and responsibility for achieving the goals set forth in this substitute resolution will fall with young people. In fact, it will fall on people, many of whom aren't yet born. I think it's only the responsible thing to do to accept this amendment to the substitute resolution. I vote aye. The amendment to the substitute resolution is accepted. Thank you for coming in. So here's how this rodeo works. Carla runs it. She's going to call three people up. 2 minutes, state your name. If you are a lobbyist, you must tell us that you are a lobbyist. If you're representing an organization, that's helpful too. She'll call three names, and then she'll also call an additional three names just to let people know you're up on deck. 2 minutes, the yellow light will go off 30 seconds before you're done. It'll beep. The red light goes off when you're done. If you go way over time, the electric prod in the seat starts to work. And I understood we have about 41. Very good.
Okay. The first three are Dr. Theodora Songas, Kendra Hubbard, and Gregory Moynihan. And they'll be followed by Sophia Smith, Zella Logo, and Peter Solinger.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. I'm Dr. Theodora Songas. I'm an environmental health scientist and epidemiologist with 40 years public health experience in state and federal agencies, as well as teaching appointments at the University of Colorado, Washington State University, and Portland State University. I'm a member of the Climate Change and Health Committee of the American Public Health Association. I want to commend you on a very thorough and comprehensive renewable energy resolution that will contribute greatly to achieving Portland's share of the responsibility for responding to climate change. We must do all that we can as a city and as a community to respond to this crisis. Thank you for this excellent resolution and your leadership. I have a major concern, however, and that is the necessity to understand that using biomass as a source of energy is not a way to address climate change. In fact, it is counterproductive. As data from the Environmental Protection Agency shows, even modern facilities burning wood and other biomass emit as much or more CO2, particulate matter, and smog precursors per unit energy as modern fossil-fueled plants, including coal plants. And implementation of biomass as an energy source will result in degradation of the carbon sequestration capacity of our forests. when increasing forest sequestration is essential to controlling and reducing atmospheric CO2 levels. The city must actively safeguard vital living forest ecosystems that can generate clean drinking water, stabilize regional climates, and store carbon. Furthermore, the language in the resolution excluding biomass that does not minimize impacts to human and ecological health can be interpreted in many ways to fit one's own agenda. How does one minimize the impacts to human and ecological health by replacing one carbon-intensive fuel with another? The goal of addressing climate change becomes difficult to achieve. Therefore, I hope you will reconsider and exclude all biomass from the definition of renewable energy resources. And finally, please support Verdi's recommended changes to the resolution.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Hello. My name is Kendra Hubbard. Thank you for this opportunity. I've worked in the solar energy industry here in Portland for the last 7 years and serve on several boards, including an industry board, a nonprofit board, and the Energy Trust of Oregon board as well. And I'm sharing my opinion about solar and how we can participate in this effort. Providing clean and renewable energy to our state and country is a mission of mine, not only because of my determination to make a better environment for my 10-year-old son, William, but to help curb the effects of climate change globally. You see, my family is from Kentucky. My great-grandfather and his children worked in coal mines there. They all died prematurely from black lung disease, with the exception of my grandfather, who moved to the Pacific Northwest after serving in World War II. He wanted a cleaner and safer life for his family, and he made the choice to leave a thriving industry for the chance of a better future. We, too, have the opportunity for a better future, despite uncertain political times. I believe it will be up to us at local levels to drive energy standards and adoption. I sit on several boards, as I mentioned, in Portland, and I'm encouraged that the work of these organizations have provided a blueprint called the Oregon Solar Plan on how to help us achieve the city's 100% renewable resolution. I can send you a copy of that plan if you'd like as well. This plan is providing 10% of Oregon's energy from solar by the year 2027 for 4 gigawatts worth of power. You have industry partners who are here and ready to work to make this vision a reality. Portland can lead this transition. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Gregory Monahan, and I am submitting this testimony on behalf of the Sierra Club. The Sierra Club very much appreciates the Portland City Council's leadership and vision in creating this forward-thinking and groundbreaking 100% renewable energy resolution. Local action like this and the similar resolution from the Monroe County Board of Commissioners are especially critical when our country's leadership in Washington is determined to reverse any forward progress on mitigating the worst impacts of climate change. In considering any amendments to this resolution, the Sierra Club asks that you stay grounded in the central tenet behind this resolution. The residents of Portland deserve a 100% renewable energy future that will be free from fossil fuels as well as other greenhouse gas emitting energy sources, such as industrial scale biomass. We understand that you may have been or still may be under considerable pressure from utilities and industry to weaken the resolution. Our country's laws require publicly traded corporations to act in the interest of their shareholders to maximize their profits. However, elected leaders such as yourself have a different mandate to ensure a future in which all the residents of the city can thrive. This mandate can only be achieved if you stand strong in support of amendments that strengthen the resolution and against the efforts to weaken the resolution. The Sierra Club supports the city's intent to have an open, inclusive process going forward that makes sure that traditionally underrepresented communities have a seat at the table. Thank you for your commitment to making this necessary transition a just one by seeking to reverse the trend of marginalization for communities experiencing the greatest impacts from climate change. Future generations will applaud your leadership. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your testimony.
The next three are Sophia Smith, Zella Logo, I believe is the last name, and Peter Solinger.
I have to step up.
Hello, my name is Sophia Smith.
And I'm Zella Lobo.
And first off, we just wanted to thank you for supporting our Youth Climate Council amendment. We are members of the High School Environmental Leadership Project, a group of youth from around Portland working in our community to find solutions for the climate crisis. We are excited that our city is taking big steps towards running on 100% renewable energy by 2050, and this resolution is a start. As youth, we want to do everything we can to support this resolution and be involved in its implementation. This resolution finally holds our city accountable for the actions that are affecting all of its residents and the rest of the world. It acknowledges the climate science, the community's suffering from the climate crisis, and where our city has already taken action to fight it. But what it is lacking is a strong stance on the definition of renewable energy. One specific concern we have with the current resolution is the inclusion of biomass in the list of renewable energy sources. We believe that it is important to define what renewable and non-renewable energies are, but biomass is not a renewable energy, nor is it free from carbon pollution. Carbon is released when trees are cut down, when they are transported, and when they are burned.
We have waited far too long to take action on the climate crisis. At this point, it is essential that we move towards sources of energy that are not emitting greenhouse gases, and biomass does not fit that standard. According to the Sierra Club, the average biomass power plant emits 40 to 60% more CO2 than an average coal plant, coal being considered the dirtiest of energy sources and the biggest contributor to climate change. Biomass facilities further climate change, releasing carbon that would otherwise be sequestered by the forest. This shows that biomass is in fact not renewable like wind and solar, and is not the right direction to be moving in for a safe climate future. The negative reality of biomass is apparent in PGE's fact sheet for a possible Boardman biomass plant. The report is misleading, stating that the plant will require 8,000 tons of torrefied biomass daily. On its own, that is a huge amount. What makes this misleading is that in order to produce 8,000 tons of torrefied biomass, they will require 12,800 tons of dry material each day it operates, because the torrefaction process, which heats biomass, results in significant loss of mass. Where will all of these materials and trees come from? They call it thinning, but how is nearly 3,000 tons of tree material every day just thinning? Advocates for the biomass industry argue that the carbon produced during the burning process will eventually be recaptured and absorbed by the forests that are regrown. But that simplified answer is not an accurate representation of what will happen. Logging changes a forest into a farm. You cannot replace a forest, you can only plant new trees, and forests are much more complex than just trees. Forests are ecosystems with plants, lichens, moss, and decomposing logs, which all house and provide for species from insects to mammals. We ask that biomass be removed from the list of renewables in the current resolution. We must move away from energy forms that release large amounts of carbon towards those that utilize already occurring natural processes like wind and solar. Allowing biomass to be a part of our energy future will exacerbate the climate crisis, will reduce the health of our forests, and will reduce our air quality.
Please consider this proposed change to the resolution to make our city's stance on the climate crisis the strongest it can be. We, the youth, will keep standing up for our environment and for our generation. Please listen to us and make the right decision now, for we have run out of time to keep weakening our actions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, City Council. My name is Peter Salinger, and I go to Grant High School. I would like to start by thanking this council for bringing forward the resolution. The City of Portland has again shown that we are committed to a healthy and renewable future. However, I would like to quickly address a few areas for improvement in the resolution that I think would allow the city to take an even larger step forward in addressing the climate crisis. First, the resolution states, whereas renewable energy specifically excludes energy derived from fossil fuels, nuclear biomass that does not minimize impacts to human and ecological health, and the incineration of municipal and medical waste. I believe that the city's statement regarding biomass is confusing and unclear, and creates a loophole that could undermine the goals of this resolution. The primary source of biomass is wood, our forests, and burning wood can create just as much pollution as fossil fuels. I would urge you to remove biomass from the definition of renewable energy altogether. If the City of Portland wants to have a strong commitment towards a healthy future for all, then we need to be clear and decisive, and biomass should not be included. Second, I'd just like to say I appreciate the city putting the youth amendment in place. The city states that they will create a subcommittee including Oregon tribes, communities of color, youth representatives, environmental advocates, city bureau representatives, and utility providers. All of those groups are included in the word youth. Maybe we could even get some aspiring city employees or utility providers. Youth as a whole is a wide and diverse group of people, all of whom deserve to have their own voice in the fight against climate change. Again, I would like to thank Portland for taking a leadership role in the fight against climate change and for showing other cities around the nation that we will stand up for what is right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Ella, were you going to speak again?
No.
Okay, thank you. So next we'll go with Kyra Mesh, Nabil, and Jan Zuckerman. And they'll be followed by Bob Solinger, Michael O'Leary, and Mike Withy.
Welcome. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, my name is Kira Mesh, and my testimony would have been what? I'm also with the High School Environmental Leadership Project, and my testimony would have been solely about the amendment that has just been added. And so I would like to take this time to thank you all for your unanimous support and your steps towards empowering the youth and this generation in the movement towards climate justice. As it has been made clear today, youth care about these issues. We are glad to have tangible steps taken to give youth voices a strong platform for consideration. We are the ones who will be experiencing the policies into the future. The language mentioned articulates the Youth Climate Council, but it also articulates the youth movement. So I would like to thank you for acknowledging that.
Thank you.
Hi. My name is Cheryl Lorman, and I'm not Nabil. I'm speaking on his behalf, as well as a group of Madison High School students who have a club called ECO. I think it's tough for kids who have school hours to be present for their future, so having a youth council is hugely important for, it's huge for curriculum, it's like real life representation to the youth that this is important, it's not a fairy tale problem, that it's real, and it's extra, it's an extra sign from those who are their elders that this is important and that their future is important. So thank you so much. So I will just read the statement from the Madison High School Eco Club. We are the future. We are the next generation to fill the last one's shoes, and those shoes are dirty and used. The land is dying. The water is no longer blue, and our food is inedible. As a club centered around the environment, we have made the commitment to do what we can to counteract the effects in our community. From nature restoration projects, recycling and composting missions, to simply vowing to turn off the water as we brush our teeth, we are gearing towards education projects to help inform our community on how to be more eco-friendly in day-to-day life with global climate change on the rise. When we heard about Portland trying to run on clean renewables by 2050, we were thrilled. Therefore, our statement is here at the ready in order to fight for this to be put into place. Of course, we want this renewable energy plan to go through for the environment. We have firm hope that by 2050, our city can run on all renewables. However, for many of us here at Madison Eco, it runs deeper. We want to live in a world where our children can breathe clean air, swim in clean water, and eat clean food. We want future generations to look at Portland and see the environmental wonders here and bring it all around the nation and eventually around the world. Instead of training our children to do mining and fracking jobs, we want our children to learn how to be environmental advocates, ones who build solar panels or manage windmill farms. We want Portland to be a clean city with little emissions and environmental impacts. We want to be proud Oregonians and live in a place where we can do what we love with a clean footprint. This plan can make it all happen. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
My name is Jan Zuckerman, and I'm a mother, a teacher, and like you, I'm deeply concerned about the planet. This morning, I gathered under the St. John's Bridge with 30 middle school students. At the Willamette River, we faced two signs, one touting the city's big pipe project to eliminate sewage overflow in the Willamette, and the other the Department of Health's warning to children, pregnant, and nursing mothers of the danger of eating toxic fish from our river. Asked to share their observations, an 11-year-old wondered how animals that eat fish can read signs. We discussed the meaning of irony and tried to wrap our heads around the words, Portland would not be here without the Willamette River. Walking upstream, I pointed out the oil and gas tanks susceptible to liquefaction as a problematic aroma of air toxins tickled our noses. We were looking at the industrial sanctuary, a sacrifice zone, a Superfund site, gas pipes, oil trains, chemicals spewing nearby. I asked the students what they were willing to sacrifice. They contemplated a solution to housing the fossil fuels somewhere else. How about near your school? I asked. They determined that there was no safe place, and one student shouted out, why can we just not have them? And so here we are, 100% renewable energy resolution before us. We sit in this sanctuary, posed to protect the lives of these children and the living things that they love and depend on. To do this, we must confront the irony in this document so there's no confusion about what the city of Portland stands for. It's a known scientific fact that biomass increases CO2, releases harmful toxins into the atmosphere, and has the potential to put our already stressed forests in danger. The Willamette River has taught us that we can't expect to move forward if we allow industry to drag their feet. A few days ago, a 16-year-old student confided in me that she doesn't wake up scared to death at night anymore or cry about the climate crisis. She's resigned herself to the idea of elected officials trading convenience and money for her health and well-being. This resolution has the power to show her our city commissioners are different. I ask you to stand with the children and make it clear that biomass is not to be confused in any way with renewable energy. This resolution has the potential to be revolutionary if we have the guts to get it right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mayor.
Commissioner Udaly, sorry.
I would like to propose an amendment. We've heard testimony now from several people about biomass concerns. And my office has received dozens of phone calls and emails about it today. I want everyone here to know that I, and I think all of us, recognize there are serious issues with using wood and forest materials as so-called renewable energy sources. And while I'm confident that our resolution as written steers us clearly away from that, I want to propose an amendment that maintains the sense of flexibility that we're striving for advancement in technology, because we don't know what's coming down the pike, and we'd like to not paint ourselves into a corner, but also alleviate some of these concerns and align with county language. So my amendment would remove, on the fourth whereas on page 3, remove the language that reads as follows, biomass that does not minimize impacts to human and ecological health, and replace it with biomass feedstock sourced from state and federal lands.
Where were you again?
I am on. Can you clarify if you're amending the substitute ordinance or the
substitute? We're on the substitute. Yeah, so I'm on page 3 and I'm on the fourth whereas.
Commissioner, can I ask, I think you have the list of
most of the amendments we'd heard. Is one you're referring to 2B? Is it different than the one that's 2B?
Yes,
2B.
Let's see. I don't seem to have 2B in front of me.
It's on the cheat sheet.
Oh, there we go. Well, I've got two different ones here.
The one that's highlighted at the bottom is the new one.
Yeah, that's essentially the same amendment.
Okay.
So
Michael, would you give us commentary on that amendment?
So not all biomass is created equal, I think, as you've heard, and it is something I think you will hear more testimony about, and so you might keep that in mind if you decide to move forward at this time. I think the public lands includes a lot of land, but then obviously there's a lot of privately held land, and so trying to arrive at I think the point here is to be extremely cautious about any biomass project, which I think is part of why the substitute amendment includes the additional whereas that's immediately under the one that you're referring to. So there's a new one that says, any forest biomass energy project requires special consideration to ensure that ecosystem health is not harmed, that the project does not result in increased life cycle carbon emissions, and that air quality and fish habitat is not degraded. So I had understood that additional whereas, which is new to the substitute, was trying to accomplish what I think is in the spirit of what you're suggesting. And so to me, that's, instead of relying on the distinction between ownership of land, it's getting to the, what are the issues we're trying to protect against?
Mm-hmm. So if I may, Commissioner, we've had lots of testimony right back and forth on this, and I think the original resolution was interesting because it was sort of universally hated. The language is probably fair. And the debate really centered around different kinds of biomass. And I'm no great expert on biomass, but apparently there's woody forest biomass, and there are apparently other kinds of biomass that are, in fact, not, if I can use the pejorative, dirty. And so we had mixed testimony. The Coalition of Communities of Color, for example, cautioned us against eliminating across-the-board language on biomass that would potentially eliminate some of those opportunities. So what you see in the substitute resolution, I will describe as a compromise language that respects what the Sierra Club and others are trying to say with regard to forest-based woody biomass, while also trying to respect the other perspective as proffered by the Coalition of Communities of Color around the possibility of other kinds of biomass, and so they've asked for flexibility. Is that a fair description of sort of the balancing act that takes place here in the
substitute? You're saying the language substitute in the substitute we have before us or with the amendments?
No, the language that we currently have before us in the substitute. Okay. So it may still not be universally beloved, but slightly less reprehensible than the others.
Mayor, can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Yeah.
We have about 30 more people who've signed up. Commissioner Udaly, why don't we take a second to your amendment and lay it on the table? Conclude the testimony, and then let's come back and have the conversation. Is that acceptable?
Sure.
I'll second your amendment. It's now on the table, and we'll take the rest of the testimony. If there is this delicate balance here, I'd like to hear more about that.
Yeah, we'll call that Udaly 1. And that's regarding biomass. And I don't have, personally, I'll just say, I don't have solid feelings one way or the other, and I'd be interested in hearing more testimony on this before we take the vote on it. Thank you.
And Mayor, we have about 30 or so more people, so I'm guessing it's about another hour of testimony.
That's probably right.
Before we get to deliberations.
Yeah.
Okay. The next three are Bob Solinger, Michael O'Leary, and Mike Withey.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll be followed by Janice Thompson, Adriana Vas Andrea, I believe it is, and Courtney Ray.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Bob Solinger, and I'm here representing the Audubon Society of Portland today. First of all, I want to express my appreciation to you for this resolution. It's a great step forward. It comes at a time when we really do need leadership on climate change, and it's great to see the city providing that, especially on a day like today. So I want to express my support for Commissioner Udaly's proposed amendment. We are concerned about the biomass issue. As a group that works on urban issues and forest issues, we still think, even as written with the extra whereas, this still is confusing and leaves a loophole open. And so we would recommend removing the language around does not minimize impacts to human ecological health, and either eliminating it altogether and simply excluding biomass from the definition of renewable energy, or adding in the language about public lands. I think either one of those would get at the concerns we have. You know, I appreciate the comment about trying to make the resolution less reprehensible, but I hope we can go beyond that and get to inspirational.
Very good.
Thank you. So this is
the other thing I wanted to testify to today is just to thank you for including the language on green infrastructure. It was originally not in here, and too often I think when we think about climate change, we fail to talk about the natural resource side of the equation. We talk about reducing dependency, more fuel efficiency, those kinds of things. We don't talk about natural resources often enough, and so it's great to see that included. When we talk about green infrastructure, we're talking about energy savings. Things like trees and eco-roofs can reduce heating and cooling costs. We're also talking about equity. Putting in green infrastructure in our most underserved neighborhoods, which need it the most, protect underserved populations from the impacts of climate change. And finally, it's about resiliency. We are going to see impacts from climate change. We're already seeing it on the landscape. So it's critical that we build resilient landscapes to protect our people and our environment. So those are our two recommendations. We support your amendment, Commissioner Udaly, and again, thank you for the green infrastructure.
Bob, can I just be clear about something? In your testimony, you said you support the amendment, but you would also support the alternative language, the alternative amendment that just restricts it to feedstock sourced from public lands.
No, what I was saying is either.
There's two versions that are before us of a potential amendment.
The language from the county is what we would support, the same language as the county, right, which basically would eliminate biomass from public lands,
right,
or simply eliminate biomass entirely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Hello. My name is Michael O'Leary. And in response to your amendment, I would ask for an indulgence of a few more seconds to address that, because that's a key part of my remarks today. I represent the Association of Northwest Steelheaders. We're a 1,500-member family fishing group. We love to go all up and down the Columbia and the Willamette and all the tributaries. I'm also here representing the National Wildlife Federation, because that entity thinks that this is really national caliber work. We really appreciate the effort to turn back the tide on what's happening at the federal level. And make no mistake, what's happening on the federal level is happening on many different planes. We have Greg Walden, who's been advocating for increased timber harvest on the east side for some time. We've got the Boardman coal plant turning off from coal, having a big option about what to do next. And we've got a protection tax credit for biomass now being proposed in the U.S. Senate, and the Senate also deemed biomass renewable on the national level. This is no joke. We are going to see a sea change in difference in biomass. It's going to be up to us to put up some boundaries here. I'm here because our salmon are in hot water already. In 2015, 97% of the sockeye salmon did not make it to Idaho that they were expected. They turned over dead because of temperature and viruses caused by temperature. In 2016, we saw a decrease in the fall Chinook run, 52% from the year before. We can't take a year-to-year change like that anymore. In 2017, just this spring, our spring Chinook run has come in at the bottom, or now it's arguably the fourth worst since we started counting at the Bonneville Dam. Our steelhead is going to be closed before the season opens because the amount of incidental bycatch from even catching and releasing a wild fish is going to meet our ESA limitations. We're not going to catch and keep one steelhead this summer. That's about to be announced. That's really happening. We're here. We're here at climate change. We support this resolution because you're taking a leadership role. We believe there's work to be done in implementation. We believe there's work to be done on hydro. Judge Simon has ruled March 27th that hydro is the number one killer of juvenile salmon. There's an injunction. This stuff's going to change. We're not going to get to enjoy as much hydro as we've had, whether it's defended by the utilities or not. That won't be in the portfolio in the same way. Biomass may be increasing. We've got real junctures here, and we'd like to follow through with the conservation expertise that we can offer and being constructive and being local on the ground here.
Thank you.
So thank you for your time and really, really appreciate your work. With respect to the amendment, we do like the clear prohibition of use of forest biomass from public lands. That does not obviously interfere with tribal reservation lands, which are not counted as public. That's a tribal nation separate. And then, of course, we didn't, for the private lands, we also very much appreciate your expert language to defend fish habitat from being harmed. We think that's model, again, national language and worthy of replacing and reproducing in other communities. So thank you for that.
You got it. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Mike Withy. So I'm very fortunate to be here today. A lot of people couldn't be here today. I very much support this. I don't know of anybody that doesn't, actually. This is a bright spot in an otherwise very bad year. Not a lot of great things have been happening lately in Portland, and so it's nice to see something inspirational come out of this. We know that it's going to take a lot of hard work, but it's well worth it. And it's been a while, so thank you, Michael. And Nick Caleb, and all the people at 350 PDX. I think you've all done a wonderful job. I think that one of the last gentlemen mentioned that our affordable housing stock should have some of this considered into it, and our micro communities do have this solar energy collection, water collection, and all that. So I'll cut it short and say thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And I was remiss in not saying we support the low-income ratepayer modifications Mr. Hippolito mentioned before. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
The next three, please. Janice Thompson, Adriana Vosandre, Courtney Ray. They'll be followed by Edith Gillis, David Vanott, Jana Gastelum.
Good afternoon.
Janice Thompson, Advocacy Director at Oregon Citizens Utility Board, also a city lobbyist. CUB was created by Oregon voters in a 1984 ballot measure to ensure a residential utility customer advocate in regulatory proceedings before the Oregon PUC and in legislative matters, for example, at the state level. We were a key player in passage of Senate Bill 1547. Kind of the coal transition bill. Nevertheless, we recognized that more was going to be needed, which is why we support the 100 by 50 resolution. Definitely appreciate all the diligent work regarding the wording of this resolution and particularly the consideration of the amendments related to youth and low income issues have long been a factor in our work related to utility regulation. Nevertheless, it is, I think, important to recognize that the work really begins tomorrow, or maybe even better wording is that the work continues tomorrow, since this resolution does build on many previous actions. CUB's work does focus on economic analysis. That economic emphasis, however, is informed by underlying values of equity and the need for public health and environmental protection. And so those values definitely inform our support for this resolution. But it's increasingly clear that we can get there, if you will, just based on comprehensive economic analysis. The status quo related to climate change has genuine and adverse economic impacts. So we'll definitely be monitoring efforts paid for by utility rate payers, but cost-effective measures that also reduce greenhouse gas emissions are occurring now, and this trend can and needs to continue, and we'll focus on that quite a bit. So thanks for all your work on this resolution and in the steps that follow, and indeed your leadership is truly a national model. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
2 minutes.
That was perfect. About as good as it gets. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners Udaly, Fish. My name is Adriana Vosandre, and I'm co-founder and executive director of 350 PDX. I'm also a scientist and a mother. We are standing at a historic crossroads. At a time when we're facing catastrophic climate disruption, when over half the world's forests have been destroyed, when over half the world's wetlands have been decimated, when over half the world's coral reefs are dead or dying, when species are disappearing at 1,000 times the normal rate, when millions around the world are already suffering from the effects of climate disruption, the U.S. government has been derelict. We're at a historic crossroads. The richest 1% have more wealth than the rest of the world's population combined. We're also seeing a crisis of inequality within this country, with an unprecedented concentration of wealth for the few, while for the rest, there is a steep decline in social mobility, failing schools, overcrowded jails, increased job insecurity, and shrinking safety nets, with by far the heaviest burdens being carried by low-income and communities of color. This vast inequality and climate disruption are destroying our democracy, our humanity, and our planet. And they share the same root cause of corporate profits over people. And we cannot solve or mitigate one without the other. I want to thank you for this resolution. And I urge you to not only join other cities across the nation by committing the city of Portland to 100% renewable energy with no industry loopholes, such as biomass, but also to affirm the city's commitment to equity. 350 PDX strongly supports Verde and others who are asking for significant and enforceable contract diversity and workforce diversity standards on publicly funded renewables projects, early significant capacity building investments in community-based organizations, leading to increasing percentages of energy needs met by community-based renewable energy infrastructure. The early goals, 2%, 10%, are too small, and they need to grow and be accelerated. 350 PDX also supports the amendment that protects low-income ratepayers. And we're excited about the creation of the Youth Climate Council. We're at a historic crossroads, and especially at this time, cities and municipalities have an even more critical role to play as we forge and implement a new positive vision toward a just transition for our children, for our democracy, for our planet. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your testimony. Good afternoon.
Hello, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Courtney Ray. I'm an organizer with BARC. We are the local watchdog group looking after Mount Hood National Forest. I will just say that I am very impressed with the students in particular and their grasp of how complicated an issue that biomass is. I hope that you heard them. And I want to, I guess, highlight that the decisions that you make from those seats up there are not happening in a vacuum. And there will be impacts not only here in the city and in our communities, but there will be impacts across the landscape and across the nation. I want to highlight as well the asks that are coming from the communities working in the capacity of environmental justice in this city. I expect that if you put just in rapid transition in the tagline of your resolution, that you will eagerly accept the feedback and recommendations from Verde and other groups I've heard today. On the subject of biomass, I want to remind you all that public lands, in fact, are a target of the federal government, of the move to privatize these lands. And why would they like to privatize them? Do I have to say it's because they would like to extract and consume and base their profits off something that should be a legacy for future generations? And if we're thinking in terms of climate solutions, which I think we are today, the number one reason to manage public lands at this stage in our Anthropocene is for the sequestration of atmospheric carbon. This is the perfect technology for doing this. We don't need fancy scrubbers. I don't know what they're referred to. We don't need extra material, extra infrastructure on top of fossil fuel producing power plants. We just need to reestablish the natural systems that have been regulating this atmosphere for 300 million years at least. I believe that here in Portland, we have a unique opportunity to protect forests like Mount Hood National Forest. It is the sixth largest carbon sequestering forest in the nation. If you want to count down the carbon that you're removing as part of the city's program, I think that you want to include the value of having a forest of this magnitude in our backyard, and I urge you to accept the language that the county approved this afternoon that explicitly protects public lands in this way. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay.
The next three are Edith Gillis, David Van Holt, I believe is the last name, and Jana Gastelum. And they will be followed by Steve.
Sorry. I apologize. Carla?
They'll be followed by Stephen Mador, Alex Anderson Beliu, and Regna Merritt.
Commissioner Udaly.
All right. So I'd like to move that we... Haven't I already done this?
Your amendment's been introduced and seconded, okay. And you just want to put it to a vote?
Okay, I want to put this to a vote then. Shall I read the language?
Yes.
So the alternative language that we've established is, whereas renewable energy specifically excludes energy derived from fossil fuels, nuclear, biomass feedstock sourced from public lands, state and federal lands is what... The thing you just handed me is slightly different than what I said. Okay. From state and federal lands and incineration of municipal and medical waste.
Very good. So just
a second.
There's a motion from Commissioner Udaly, and just to be clear, 2B has a slight change to state and federal lands. And Commissioner Fish seconds. Any further discussion? Call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is accepted.
Mayor, can I... Mayor, we've heard a lot of testimony about amendments offered by an equity coalition led by Verde. I think this may be appropriate to put those amendments on the table.
Commissioner Fish?
So there are two. First is add the following whereas. Whereas the benefits of affordability programs can ease the energy burden on low-income households, fostering equality as a percent of household incomes and preventing disconnections, and thus mitigate the impacts of price spikes and the cost of implementing renewable programs, and add a new, be it further resolved, the city will partner with energy utilities and community-based organizations to adopt policies that reduce the cost burden for low-income customers and make incentives available to foster equality in energy burdens as a percent of household incomes.
Second that.
So Commissioner Fish moves. Commissioner Udaly seconds.
I want to raise the other issue that Alan Hippolito brought up about the language on the fourth, be it further resolved on page 4.
This was the amendment that was offered. Can we do this separately?
Sure.
Let's
okay.
call the roll.
Thanks to Alan Verde and everyone who testified in support of this amendment. Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment's accepted. Commissioner Udaly?
So Alan Hippolito from Verde also requested that we remove a partial line from the fourth, be it further resolved on page 4. We would remove transportation, food waste management, industrial processing, heating and electricity investments, and it would read, be it further resolved, the city will prioritize community-based development of renewable energy infrastructure and will make investments in community-facing organizations to build capacity to lead such development to meet 2% of community-wide energy needs, including transportation, heating, and electricity via such infrastructure by 2035 and 10% by 2050.
So I'll second this for discussion. Could you come forward, Michael? Because I actually read this differently than Alan. So let's ask. You were here, Michael, when Alan Hippolito testified. I actually read this a little differently than his concern. Could you address his concern?
Yeah, so I understood it. I understood that him to be pointing out that in this, be it resolved, we refer to community-based development of renewable energy infrastructure, and then we detail a number of sort of related things, whereas everything previously has simply referred to renewable energy. And so I think he was looking for clarity and trying to understand, are we saying something different here than we're saying elsewhere?
So is it fair to read the additional language as being the equivalent of including but not limited to, or including, or was it intended to be a term of limitation?
It reads as a limiting. So to me, it reads as a limiting
Because he was, I think, objecting to the fact that the language is inconsistent from other language.
Right.
So the option is either to remove the language, which is inconsistent, or to put a qualification in so that it's just meant to be illustrative. And, again, the way I read it is that we could solve the problem by just putting including in so that it was illustrative. Does that do violence to the language, and does that meet, do you think, the concern that was raised?
I would never presume to speak for Alan.
Well, particularly after he gave you such a glowing tribute. But what?
I read it the same way you do. I think
wait,
those are
let's
intended
do this.
To be illustrative.
Let's ask him.
It's like a Woody Allen movie. Alan.
Oh, there he is. We're looking.
You know
for
nothing
him.
Of my work. Yeah, come up forward, Alan, for a second.
Alan, you prepared your speech, right? Or
Alan, would you take it, see the table just for a second?
Alan, I have just proposed that we remove the language that you had requested, and we would like to revisit that issue with you.
Sure. No, I appreciate that.
So just
that.
By way
you.
Of background, we've adopted an amendment which accepts your language. The new whereas and the new resolved has been accepted. So the formal amendment that was presented by the Equity Coalition. Now we're looking at the language of the resolve.
Thank you so much for that.
That's great. Yeah.
Where you asked to have something struck, and the question that we're grappling with is, if the additional language in the resolve was meant to be illustrative and not to create an inconsistency with other resolves, if we were to insert an including, so it's meant to define the potential but not be a term of limitation. Does that meet your concern?
Well, that already takes place below at the bottom. It already says that community-wide energy needs, including transportation, heating, and electricity, will be met by this kind of infrastructure. So I have difficulty grasping the purpose of putting it up at the top as well.
I don't know. I wasn't the author, so.
You see, it already says that we'll meet 2% of community-wide energy needs, including transportation, heating, and electricity, via such infrastructure. So, it's either duplicative or it means something else.
So, I'll tell you, I, since I'm not the author and I'm trying to understand the concern, I actually read it as expanding, not contracting, opportunities for community-based organizations. So it is different, but I read it as actually strengthening your hand, not weakening your hand. Who was the author of that? Was it the noted environmental lawyer Nick Caleb? Is it who?
Nope.
I know there was a discussion yesterday. Jamie, do you want to?
Jamie, can you come up and help us? Because I think we're all trying to get to the same intent,
yes,
and we're now struggling
absolutely.
Over language.
Jamie Duhamel, Policy Director for Commissioner Udaly. The original community-based language was actually crafted with our office and Verde. The additional language that we're discussing right now was a suggestion from Pacific Power.
So you'd like to go back to the original language that you proposed?
Yes.
Okay. And all right. So Commissioner Udaly.
All right. So I.
You want to strike the additional.
I would
language?
Like to strike that additional language that I just read.
Well, I'll second it for purposes of discussion. Okay. And Michael, since there's other definitions throughout the document, does it materially change what we're trying to do?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Thank you.
I think it streamlines it.
Mayor, I call the question.
So are we voting on amendments before we hear all the testimony?
Yes, we are. We've heard on the last ones, we heard substantial and consistent testimony, and I think we reached the point where we were persuaded. And so we don't necessarily have to do that, but in these particular questions, we've had commissioners as...
Well, and I just raised this because Commissioner Fish had introduced the two other Verde amendments, and I thought it was a good time to...
Okay. Well, I have some amendments. I guess I'd like to also offer.
Let's call the question on this one. Unless people have further questions before we call the question. Call the roll, please.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment's adopted.
Okay. I'd like to ask Michael Anderson. While you're up here, I'm curious why there's no reference to hydrogen power. Cogeneration or fusion in sources of renewable energy?
Well, so nuclear is specifically identified in the what it doesn't include, what we don't include by renewable.
So right, I know we don't include nuclear fission, but
You're ready for fusion?
Fusion, is, though unattainable at this point in time, is certainly generates no waste. By my understanding, produces more energy than it actually consumes. I know it's unattainable, but it seems like, you know, we're shooting for the stars here anyway. So we should try to be as broad-based as we can.
We're not excluding it, though, are we?
What about hydrogen as a fuel for transportation?
So I don't believe this excludes hydrogen, but the question with hydrogen is always, how do you get it? And these days, conventionally, you get it by taking natural gas and breaking out the hydrogen atoms. And so that can be done renewably, and if it did, I think it would meet the definition as currently described.
Okay.
But if you simply say hydrogen without then following that back to the feedstock, I think that opens up a